For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jonathan, and it's great to have you here worshipping with us today. As a church, we've been journeying through the desert with Jesus for Lent this year. And we've been trying to follow him closely. For our devotional lives, we've been focusing on such things as humility, servanthood, and even a more radical obedience to God. We've looked at some of the saints of old and how they tried to do it. And I think sometimes we've marvelled at how courageous they were in pursuing lives of radical and wholehearted devotion to God. The image on the screen kind of paints the picture of where we've been. It looks a bit like a harsh and arduous journey to the cross. Everything about it looks difficult. It's uphill, it's a slog through the sand, it looks hot, and you get to the cross, which looks over and above a very barren, dry landscape. Do you remember your first impression when you saw that picture? You might have grabbed one of these out in the cafe area or before church, or you've seen it up on our screen over the last few weeks in the lead up to Easter. Do you remember what your first impression was? Looks a bit harsh, doesn't it? As far as an invitation for Easter, did you think, wow, that doesn't look that inviting, really? I'm not sure I want to go there. You know, following Jesus through the desert is what Christians have done for centuries. Lent, that's the Lent journey, and it's hard. Have you wondered why it's hard? Have you got to a place today where you've realised, actually, that doing Lent thing, that's really hard. Why? I think Lent exposes us. It exposes our weaknesses, our many and varied ways of striving. It strips us bare, exposing who we are, our brokenness, our need for healing, our need for restoration, our need for salvation. Friends, that's a vulnerable place to be, to know deeply your need for God. And if you're anything like me, I don't like feeling vulnerable. It doesn't fit well with me. I'm not sure if people embrace it, but for me, I don't embrace it so much. When I feel vulnerable, I tend to pull back and protect myself a little bit. And Lent, very intentionally, leads us in this way of feeling vulnerable before God. When that happens, you know, I think there are three options as followers of Jesus. First option is to pull back a little bit, to protect ourselves and to withdraw. Second option is to white knuckle it, to make devotion something we do like this. I will be devoted to God. I will pray. It'll be good, us and God. The other way is to find a rhythm where it's actually pretty easy, where God's grace and kindness carry us, lead us. My prayer for us today is that we will know this third path, an easy way of walking with God, where we know with every fibre of our being that we are loved by a God whose love is steadfast, true, and unshakable. Friends, will you please join with me in prayer? Our loving God, that is our prayer today. As we gather, as we just explore your word this morning, we ask you by your Holy Spirit to speak to each one of us today. Lord, you see our hearts. You know where we're at. You know if we've been hurt or if we've felt vulnerable and exposed. And you know our natural tendencies to pull back, to retreat and to hide a little, or to strive and do it in our own strength. You know that's just our way. So, Father God, we pray today as a family of believers in this room, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak to each of our hearts today. And we acknowledge today that we need healing, that we need restoration, and that we need your salvation. Jesus, help us to pause today here at the cross, in this most sacred of hours. Here before us is the source of reviving power. We are helpless indeed. And today we come with all of our need. Lead us, Lord, into your presence. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When I alluded to that second way of kind of white-knuckling it and striving and doing our best to follow after God, did any of that feel familiar to you? Is there something about that that just seems almost our default? To get anywhere in life, even to get somewhere with God, takes effort, dedication, and sacrifice. You know, many of us have had that message drummed into us since we were kids. Work hard, study hard. And that message does suit us well, and it gets us through things like school. It helps us achieve things. But sometimes that message really lodges in the back of our mind, and we think that everything takes dedication, devotion, hard work, and striving. And our Christian walk becomes a bit like that as well. There is something about that message, the positive side, but there's a negative side as well, that can be a bit soul-crushing. It can really do some damage, especially when it comes to our relationships. Now, you might not think that all of us, white-knuckle it in our relationships. That might be a stretch too far for your imagination. But devotion, striving, working hard, it kind of crops into it from time to time, doesn't it? And then it becomes a matter of, well, if I'm good enough, I'll be loved. If I bring enough to the relationship, I'll be deserving of love. Enough flowers, enough chocolates, enough dates, enough phone calls. Is there enough? When do we feel like we're worthy of being loved? Do we get to a place where we can actually rest and receive that? You see, people are complicated. All of us are complex. And we hurt one another. And we really hurt one another from time to time. We get let down. We get betrayed. We get disappointed. Every human relationship, there will be a fracture or a rupture at some time or another. And so it's only natural that we bring that kind of thinking into our relationship with God, because we see it everywhere we look. Relationships fracture all the time. And so we do our best. We do our part. We strive. We read our Bibles, we pray, we come to church, we do our part, hoping that God will love us back. But yet there's this hesitancy that still just sits with us, doesn't it? Is God really steadfast in his love? Is he true? Is the love of God really unshakable? Thanks to Cameron for reading that passage from Romans 5 today. It really brings it fresh, doesn't it? That there is something different about God's love. It flips our way of thinking on its head. It flips our experience of love on its head. Any ideas we have of striving to earn God's love really come to naught. I'm going to read it out to us again. And just, I invite you to chew on these words as I read it, to let them sink into your spirit afresh today. Christ arrives right on time to make this happen. He didn't and doesn't wait for us to get ready. He presented himself for this sacrificial death when we were far too weak, far too rebellious to do anything to get ourselves ready. And even if we hadn't been so weak, we wouldn't have known what to do anyway. We can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for, and we can understand how someone good and noble can inspire us to selfless acts of courage and sacrifice. But God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatever to him. God put his love on the line for us. Some translations say God demonstrated, God showed us his love by offering the death of his son Jesus while we were still sinners, while we still weren't good enough, while we were of no use whatever to him. The striving, the arduous journey, picture that desert scene, that's all been done. On our own, we can't get there. It's too harsh, it's too hard, it's too beyond us. And we don't know what to do either. As you came into church this morning, I'm hoping you noticed the big cross in the middle of the hall. I'm guessing we all noticed. And so today, this is our place of prayer. It's a cross that stands right in the middle of our church. It helps us to focus. It helps us to respond. And so this morning, I'm going to invite us to respond. Remember those three responses? The first response is to pull back, to hide, to protect ourselves. I know from my perspective, that's my default. And it might be for you as well, or some of you as well. For other people, it might be to do the hard work and just knuckle down and really, really follow God well. But today, friends, there is a way to the cross that's gentle and kind and easy. Do you know that? There is a rhythm of devotion that is just in sync with who we are and how God has made us. But there are stumbling blocks in the way. Sophie read a snippet of Luke's gospel. I was going to get Sophie to read a couple of chapters because there's so much in there, but I thought sister-in-law and all that, I better look after that relationship. Because relationships fracture, so, you know, that happens. I want to go back to chapter 22, just to start with one of the big stumbling blocks. and how today at the cross we might be able to engage in some work of healing and restoration this morning. The Garden of Gethsemane. A beautiful old olive grove. Some of the trees thousands of years old. Knotted, aged, full of fruit. And Jesus collapses in that garden. I'll read from verse 39. And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me." Take the cross out of the picture. It's too hard. I don't know how to do it. I don't want to do it. And then in his next breath, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he arose from prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. In that olive grove, 2,000 years ago, was a man crushed in spirit. Anxiety, fear, not knowing how to get to the cross. On the place of prayer this morning, there are cups with olives in there. Olives are crushed, and Jesus was crushed to make our life with God easy. And kind and gentle. Jesus was crushed for us. As we pray this morning, I invite you to, you might want to kneel in front of the, or beside one of the olive trees and just do that work. Because there's a good chance that we get to Good Friday and we are a bit vulnerable with the work that we've done during Lent. We do acknowledge and realise that we're broken and exposed and vulnerable. Also on our place of prayer at the cross is a loaf of bread. You know how relationships fracture? Jesus broke bread with friends. Just a short while before this passage, one betrays him, one denies him, and most of the rest scatter. You know, Jesus knows what it feels like to have a relationship fracture and to be hurt by someone. But he does the healing work. And so if you need to break bread with somebody in the room, or just allow somebody to minister to you and break bread with you today, I invite you to do that. Because as part of what the cross does, it does bring us back together. It heals relationships. And today could be the start of a healing journey for you. As the narrative continues, Jesus is put on trial. He's falsely accused. Things are said about him that aren't true. That's a stumbling block. Has anyone ever said anything about you that's not true? Have you ever felt a bit passed from pillar to post? A bit of a plaything for somebody else's agenda? That hurts. That makes us vulnerable. That keeps us from God. He's mocked and ridiculed, beaten and tortured. The arduous hard work, the journey to the cross, has been done for us. He's exposed and humiliated, stripped bare, half naked, perhaps walking through the streets of Jerusalem with the cross until Simon takes it off his shoulder. most definitely fully naked as he's crucified. Like he's humiliated. I've been humiliated before. I'm sure all of us in the room have been humiliated before. It fractures relationships. It keeps us from one another. It certainly keeps us from trusting God. Friends, break bread today. If it's not a relationship in the room, have somebody come with you and pray for you while you break bread and ask God to do the healing work in your life. And finally, the hours just before Jesus' death, the world goes dark. For 3 hours, the world was dark, noon to three. There'll be people in this room, perhaps all of us, who have felt in a dark and lonely place at one time or another. Allow Jesus to do the work of healing today. Today is a work of healing. Friends, we're just going to listen to the tune that was introduced to us. It's an old tune, so it will be familiar to many people in the room. The band played it for us last Sunday, and I referred to it in my prayer earlier. But I'm going to read out the words again. Here at the cross, in this sacred hour, here at the source of reviving power, helpless indeed, I come with my need. Lord, for thy service, fit me, I plead. As that tune just plays in the background, I'm going to invite you to move. You might want to come and kneel at the cross. In our olive grove, you might want to break bread. You might want to kneel at our place of prayer here. You might want to come and see and pray over the girls who are painting the Good Friday scene for us. But friends, vulnerability keeps us in our seats. Healing, I encourage you to listen to the Holy Spirit's prompt this morning and to move. Let's respond together, friends.